One of the greatest things about the Scripture, of course, is it is God's Word. And He gives us direction on how to live our lives in harmony with His will. But as we read through the Scriptures, we will find some of the most intriguing stories, far greater than anything that man can write, because it teaches us valuable spiritual lessons and lessons on how to live here as we go through this life together. I think it's very important that we study these stories and these characters that Jesus, the Lord, has presented to us. And we have examples both in Old and New Testament of men and women who live their lives from day to day, and in the process of telling their story, tells us how to live our lives from day to day in service to God. Today I want us to take a look at one of these stories. I would like for us to take a look at one incident in the life of Daniel. And I believe that we can take the story that is told about Daniel and we can apply the principles to our lives, and it will help us in our Christian life to be closer to God and to be closer to each other as being members of His kingdom. Our story begins in Daniel chapter 6. We find that King Darius has set up 120 satraps or leaders and placed them over his kingdom. He has also appointed three governors over the satraps. Daniel is one of the three governors that Darius has appointed. Daniel has an excellent spirit of God, and the other leaders were very jealous of him because King Darius himself found favor with Daniel. And in verse 4, we are told this part of the story, and this is where it begins to become intriguing. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error found or fault found in him. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. Now they have come up with a plan to trap Daniel and turn King Darius against him. We read beginning in verse 7. All of the governors of the kingdom and administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, the king signed the written decree. Now the trap is set. They know Daniel's attitude toward his God. They know that he places full trust in his God. They also know that he is 100% dedicated to his God. And they also knew that Daniel would ignore this law. All they had to do was watch him and catch him in the trap. And that's what he did. He did exactly what they thought he would do. When he saw the law that had been signed, he went home, opened his window toward Jerusalem, and prayed to his God just as he has always done. He opened his window to Jerusalem. Today I want us to take a look at this story. And I want us to see how Daniel's window being opened toward Jerusalem can actually be a lesson for us. You see, we, like Daniel, need to develop the habit of having our windows open toward God. We need to develop a habit of having God's Word to rule us and guide us and direct us, instead of worrying about what is politically correct or what is socially correct in our world today. So, what can we learn from Daniel's window, which was opened toward Jerusalem? First of all, the fact is, he did open his window. It was opened toward Jerusalem. His prayers was not toward Babylon. Now, to pray to Darius would have been the politically correct thing to do. For you see, for the next 30 days, Darius has basically placed himself upon a pedestal. And he is the only one who is to receive honor and prayer during this time. Not only would it have been politically correct, it was indeed the law of the land. Now, as it is today, when you break the law, there are penalties. There are consequences that are to be made. And severe penalties are imposed upon breaking this law, because anyone who is thrown into the den of lions does not come out. And Daniel, remember, was an exile from a foreign country. Even though he had been given a very high office, to break this law means he could lose his position. It means that he would lose his life. Another point you may want to make note of is the fact that Daniel at this point in time is a very old man, probably somewhere around the age of 90. But yet and still, his prayers was not toward Babylon, and his prayers was not toward the king's palace. You know, the king has shown favor to Daniel. He had made him one of three rulers over the entire kingdom. The king has now decreed a respect and a devotion to be paid to him for the span of a month. Now, understand, there is nothing wrong with paying respect and honor for your leaders. In fact, Peter tells us that's exactly what we ought to do. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, Peter tells us, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Generally speaking, there would have been nothing wrong with honoring Darius for the next 30 days. But you see, the decree went a little bit too far. Not only did it say honor Darius for the next 30 days, but it also said you cannot honor anybody else. You're not to honor your God. You're not to honor any other person. You are to honor Darius and Darius only. The prayers were for him. Daniel said no. Daniel had more faith in the God of heaven than he did in this earthly king. Therefore, the window opened to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the center of God's worship. It was where the temple was. It was the source of God's word. It was even referred to as the city of God. My friend, men today should refuse to open their windows of their souls to this world. Open your window to God and His Word. Another thing we learn from this story, Daniel remained faithful to his God, even though the decree said not to. He opened his window toward Jerusalem without any regard whatsoever to his personal enemies. And yes, as we have already read, Daniel had personal enemies. Men who were jealous of him because the king liked him. You remember in school, the teacher's pet? Y'all remember the teacher's pet? You know, I never had the honor of being called the teacher's pet. I guess I was just a little too mean for that. But oh, I despised the teacher's pet. You see, the teacher's pet usually got to take names when the teacher went out of the room. And guess whose name always showed up? Yeah. We didn't like teacher's pet. I guess you might say that Daniel was the teacher's pet. Daniel was the one that Darius liked, and he wasn't even one of them. He was from the outside. He was from another country. And Darius still made him a governor of the land. But Daniel put God first regardless of what these men had put together against him. If he had complied to the law, he wouldn't have been thrown in the lion's den. Their scheme would not have worked. But look who he would have been against. He would have been against God. And to be against God, to face the anger and the wrath of God, is far worse than facing a den of a bunch of hungry lions. Daniel was faithful to God regardless of his enemies. Daniel was faithful to God without regard of any personal danger whatsoever. The penalty was clear. If you pray to anyone else other than Darius for the next 30 days, you go to the lion's den. Again, this meant certain death. No one ever came out of the lion's den. And during those days, lions that had been captured were purposely underfed, so they would be ready to devour anything that was thrown inside. And it's interesting also to note that this was the kind of law that not even the king could change. But yet Daniel continued to pray 3 times a day to his God, as he always had. Third thing, Daniel's faith was rewarded. You see, God heard Daniel's prayer, and he answered it. When the morning came, after he had been placed in the lion's den, the king, who did not want Daniel thrown into the lion's den to begin with, raced to the den, hoping for that miracle that Daniel's God would have performed for him throughout the night. In fact, we read beginning in verse 20 of Daniel chapter 6, "And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?' Then Daniel spoke to the king, 'O king, live forever.'" Boy, don't you know those were welcome words. Not that Daniel was wishing the fact that Darius would live forever, but because it came from Daniel, who was supposed to be dead. "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." And the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed his God. We can have that same benefit, friends. if we will put that kind of trust, that kind of faith in our God, He will deliver us. He will protect us. He will keep us safe. We also learn that God's purpose list was gloriously advanced because of Daniel's rescue. You see, several things took place as a result of this. First of all, Darius realized that it was the other leaders who had set a trap against Daniel and basically set a trap against Darius. And as a result, according to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 24, he took Daniel's accusers and cast them into the lion's den, along with their wives and their children. Second thing, Darius makes another decree. And this decree is for all peoples, all nations, and languages of all who dwell on the earth. Now, I don't know if he had that kind of power to do that or not, but that's what he did. Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Everyone now knows about Daniel's God. Darius has seen to it that everyone pay attention to this God of Daniel, that everyone listen to this God of Daniel, that everyone fear and tremble before this God of Daniel. We also know that the rescue of Daniel in all probability played a very important factor for the later release of the Israelites, giving them freedom to return to Jerusalem. And it wasn't very long after this incident that the Israelites were allowed to return to Jerusalem. There are so many good lessons that we can learn from the story of Daniel. Daniel is an example of one who overcame many hardships through his faith and his devotion to his God. I don't have to tell you this morning, my friends, we all have hardships. We all have trials and troubles in life. But God can come to our rescue, just as he did for Daniel. But we, like Daniel, must be willing to put our lives into his hands and allow him to control our lives and lead us in the direction that we need to go. I ask you this morning, in closing this lesson, are you willing to place your hands or your lives into the hands of God? Not only will he rescue you from the troubles of this life, but he will rescue you for eternity as well. My friends, if you're not a Christian, give your life to him now. Let him pull you out of sin, which is far worse than the lion's mouth. And let him save you from your sins. Let him keep you safe. And you can live with him someday in heaven. Christian friend, if you've left God, you can still come back to him. God will rescue you from sin once again. And he will keep you safe as long as you will live for him. And we give you that opportunity this morning. If you need to respond, please come as we stand and sing.